Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey everybody, I'm Matt Perez.
And I'm Satchel Drakes. Together we're hosting a new Forbes podcast called Overworld.
It's all about video games and the impact they have on art, culture, society, history, all that good stuff.
It launches Tuesday, September 19th, and we'll post every Tuesday thereafter.
So please subscribe at podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you hear your shows.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. Welcome to CarCast, man. Carl, it's Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea,
hello.
Over there. Excited to welcome back Rutledge Wood.
What's up, guys?
I love me some Rutledge Wood. You know, I just had this thought about Rutledge Wood. When I was a kid, I'd watch, like, Match Game and other shows like that. They had all these game shows, you know,
sure.
And they had people on there like Joanne Worley and Nipsey Russell and
some of my
PJ
favorites,
something like that. Like that, they do the same thing on like the Gong Show and stuff like that. And what they were was personalities, but you didn't know them from something. You just knew that they were these big personalities.
Right.
And obviously, Joanne Worley had to do laughing. But I didn't know anyone's background other than they were big time personalities on the circuit who would do these game shows. And I thought Rutledge Wood may be a modern day version of Nipsey Russell, Joanne Worthy. You got to pull some of these names from back then. But there were Richard Dawson used to do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They were just personalities.
Yeah.
And I didn't exactly, but they weren't like stand up comedians and they weren't dramatic actors. They were just them. I think Rutledge Wood may be that.
Thanks, man. That's a great compliment. No one's ever compared me to Nipsey Russell before, so I'll take that. That's solid.
I think it's better to be just you.
Yeah.
That, because then, I mean, you know, obviously all the car stuff, you know, Rutledge from, and we won the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix.
You
and
went
all
to the
that
Olympics,
kinda,
man.
All that stuff. It went to
I
the
did.
Olympics.
He went to the Olympics and reported.
And I'm going back.
To the Olympics.
I tell you what, Adam, I think you would have enjoyed Brazil was a fascinating place. You know, the news, of course, said, hey, it's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We get down there. It's delightful. The people are charming. The funniest part for me was all these people that we work with had 24-hour security. Like Bob Costas, who is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Bob had a 24-hour security guy. That guy's room was in between Bob and I's. And everywhere Bob went, they were like, oh, there's a white guy. No one knew who Bob Costas was down there.
Right.
Everywhere I went, people are like, it's the guy from Top Gear. Everywhere.
Really?
So much that it began to disturb some of my coworkers because Top Gear aired twice a day down there. But they would come up to me, and I don't know if you've ever had this problem, but they would come up and say, oh, Top Gear, can we get a picture? And I would speak and say, yeah, I'd love to get a picture. And then their face would just change immediately because they don't know my voice. They know my voice in Portuguese, which is apparently very effeminate and very high-pitched. Apparently, Tanner is like the most machismo guy of all time in Portuguese, and they would not have guessed I was married with children. Married to a woman, I should specify. So
okay,
it was a really fascinating time.
You should have quickly learned some Portuguese.
I just quit talking
least,
and smiled.
I'll take a picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk about the Olympics. So when is the next one? I always get confused. Summer, winter.
Yeah.
When is your next assignment?
It's February in Pyeongchang, South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
I've never, of course, been to South Korea. This will be my first time. It's 4-2, right? So that's how they kind of split them up with how the summers every four feels like. I think it's still the same, but It's going to be a real adventure. It's fun to go do stuff that you have no idea what you're doing. Like, I kind of enjoy that pace where you're just kind of chucked in there and you go spend time with other people. I spent time with a vegan weightlifter in Brazil, this guy from Louisiana. And he was like, yeah, I mean, people say, you know, X amount of calories. They don't really know. They're scientists. They're not bodybuilders. And you sit there and you go, yeah, that's a valid point, man.
So.
I've never thought about that. Sure, eat whatever you want. So. I'm really excited about it. It'll
be fun.
Do you
have to study up on Winter Olympics, or are you already into the sport?
I think my best thing is sort of idiot abroad. I just go, man. I'm going to dig in and have a great time.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time with Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski in Brazil. And you know, of course, in the Winter Olympics, they are.
Probably didn't help the reputation royalty. Of being a little.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah, that helped me. That, Dan Patrick helped offset that vibe because I took Dan with me everywhere we went. So that was a big time. But yeah, I think I'm just going to go soak it up. You know, of course, just like you guys, I watch the Olympics because it's this amazing spectacle. The coolest thing to be a part of it is in that month that I was down there, the longest month of my life, there was nothing bad that happened in the world. Like, everybody's eyes are just on that. And to be there in person and see all these people from all these different countries that can high-five and enjoy just this moment of sport, whatever it is, whether it's handball, riding bicycles indoor, whatever it is, like, people are just there for that. And that was a really cool thing to be a part of.
I think, speaking of nothing bad happening, you know, there are some thoughts about North Korea and South Korea and all these people being in South Korea with crazy North Korea.
Yeah.
Just on the other side of the glass, like Hannibal Lecter, when Agent Starling went
really?
To go talk to him.
I had not thought of that yet. Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
no, it's going to be super fun.
It's going to be great.
It's super fun. Hang around with Bob Costas all
not
the
worried.
Time.
Not worried.
He's
at
got
all.
The guy. He's got the
his
cut.
Yeah. So I'm sure everything will be vetted. But
we're supposed to get it here too, right? We're supposed to. Didn't we just win?
Yeah,
California's getting.
Los Angeles is supposed to get something, too, the next
yeah.
summer, the one after.
Is it 2028?
It's quite a ways down the line, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with all the homeless people. We got to go Soylent Green.
Pretty
it's
soon.
Time to go Soylent Green. Like, let's start eating the homeless people. It's protein. Forget
also,
that
we should
vegan
be,
weightlifter guy.
We should all be running out to, like, get condos and houses so we can Airbnb the shit out of those things during the Olympics.
Oh,
right?
that's a good point.
Nice
yeah.
play. I'd definitely sacrifice 10 years of my life for a month of income. I think we should start now. Let's get in on the ground floor. Because real estate in California is so affordable. Like, it's
yeah.
That's a great
yeah.
that's
like,
a
if
great
you could
play.
Pick up three or four places right now, you
let's
should
do
that.
It.
You should do that.
I had...
it's cost $22 million.
I got immediately got put in a bad mood this morning. I don't know if you guys.
Oh no!
I'm so delicate, but I hate waste.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate when people have half bottles of water flopped all over the shop. I just hate, like, you know, like show up to the shop and the fart fan's running in the bathroom and nobody's been there since the night before. You know that kind
sure.
of stuff. Drives me nuts, and I hate. Okay, so here's what I did. I had one car. I had the Newman Championship car, GT1 Championship car, like an 85, I think, 300ZX. Went off to a Hotchkins shop and was done over at great expense. And then it came back and it keeps kind of getting taken apart and putting back together and taken apart and put back together, which it just means I already paid for this car once.
Right.
But there's a lot of like, yeah, well, they didn't do this right. And they take it apart. And I'm like, well, I already paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. So
yeah.
Stop playing with this car. Just leave it alone. Move on to the next car. Like psychologically, I can't take any more, take it apart, put it together
sure.
with like the same car. So I finally got everyone moved over to Newman's second GT1 championship car. And this morning, and everyone's working on that car, which is great. This morning, I get up, I come into the shop, and I see that the rear left wheel on the Hotchkiss car, which is done, the wheel's off, the car's jacked up, the rotor's off, of course, the caliper's off. The spindle's off. The shock is off. Like, it's completely disassembled.
Yeah.
And I just come walking in. I'm like, what are we doing with this car? Like, I can't imagine. And it's all disassembled. They have all the markings and all the screws and the nuts, you know, with the paint, you know, so they line up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The safety wiring and everything. It's yeah. all taken apart. And I just go, what is going on with this car? Like, leave this car alone. Work yeah. on the other car. I've already paid for this car. And they're like, we're not working on this car. I'm like, well, the whole thing's taken apart. Yeah, we're trying to get a part number for an axle. I said, well, for the other car. I said, okay, so you kind of have me on a technicality. You are working on the other car, but you took this entire car apart.
Because they
Why?
Need the axle for the car they're working on. They need the part number, right?
They need the part number. Then I get this one. why go call Hotchkiss and find out what the, we checked all the invoices. There's nothing. There's no part number. That's the other thing where I go, okay, how long did it take to check all the invoices? Mm. Okay. Checked everything. I said, okay, but just call the guy. Like, call the guy who did it. Go ask him. Go find out.
Yeah.
And then the worst part ever, when the one guy says, I told him to do it. He didn't want to do it. Like, all right, would somebody call me? Somebody call me and go, here's what's happening. And then, in which case, I'll go, don't do it.
Don't tear
that car apart. Yeah. Call Hotchkiss. And then you get this one, which I always like too, which is, you want me to call Hotchkiss? I'll call Hotchkiss. It's like, yeah, no, I
did.
Before you take everything apart, now you have to put everything back together.
Yeah.
But call him. He may have it. It's like,
well, he probably does have it. He's a pretty smart guy. He knew where he sent the rear end out to get rebuilt. Like, I think he would know.
I was afraid it was
the whole goddamn rear end of the car is taken apart.
Just when I saw you, my first intuition was, there's Adam. Give him a hug. I was afraid
one.
Like maybe it wasn't long enough.
I needed
it. Or was
hug.
It too much? You know, that's what I was afraid of.
Listen, if you started paying guys lots of money an hour to do this kind of stuff, it would drive you nuts too. It would just drive you nuts. Like, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and
I was going to show you the car later, but it's all in pieces.
I don't want to see if it's in pieces. Then it doesn't look like a whole car.
No, forget about it. You can only look at one side of it. The other side's ruined.
Adam, I've been there. It's a smaller scale. I don't want to lie. Like, my projects are not as grandiose, perhaps, as yours. The heart's still in the same place.
Sure.
You know?
It's, yeah, like...
Make something better.
Like the 67 Fastback you're building with parts
purchased exclusively
from eBay Motors.
Yeah, hold on. Let me tell you about HelloFresh. Oh, I tried HelloFresh. You don't know what you're missing if you haven't tried HelloFresh, man. Makes cooking more fun, so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. This stuff is good. It is fresh. It is delivered straight to your home. It is less than $10 a meal. New delicious recipes each week. Step-by-step instructions. Takes about 30 minutes. Classic box. They got the veggie box. They have the family box. You can order 3, 4, 5 different meals per week for 2 to 4 people, whatever you like. Individual boxes. Keep each meal separate so they don't cross-pollinate there. And for $30 off your first week, visit HelloFresh.com and enter ACE30. Get $30 off your first week. You will not be disappointed. HelloFresh, ACE30. Enter ACE30 at HelloFresh.com and save $30 off your first week. HelloFresh, get cooking. All right, where were we?
You can see it.
Tell me about that, right?
eBay Motors.
It's funny. It's not quite as, you know, Paul Newman never drove this 67 Fastback to my knowledge. But, you know, all the stuff that I've done, loss in transmission, Top Gear, you know, a lot of times we go to eBay and grab parts for whatever we're building on. So they knew that, and eBay called and said, hey, why don't you buy a car off eBay and get all the parts, everything else you need from eBay Motors, parts and accessories, and then we'll tour it around the summer. People can see it in different stages. And at the end, you can unveil it at SEMA. And it's going to be all painted and be awesome. Auction will go live when we're there that first week in November. And then all the money we raise is going to charity. So I, of course, said, yes, let's go for it. Got my buddy Randy from the Kenwood Rod Shop, who built all our stuff, loss and transmission. You met Randy. He's a great guy. So his guys went to work on it. Got my buddy Mike Finnegan from Roadkill.
Sure.
Casey Matthew, formerly Fast and Loud, now Casey Speed Shop. So you all kind of put our ideas together. And the funny thing is someone wrote the press release and I looked at it and it's like, okay, well, if we're going to say that we're going to do something people have never seen before, then I think we really got to do that. Let's go for it. So we wanted to build something that would be faster, handle better, stop faster than kind of anything we'd done before. And not surprisingly, none of us were Mustang guys.
Mm-hmm. So which Japanese engine are you going to put in it?
Okay, great question. That got shot down early.
Oh, really?
I said, let's put a 2JZ GT from a Supra in there. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
You know, there are certain, and you know, with the level of your restorations, there are certain cars where purists, they can kind of taint the outcome. Like if they think there's 4 screws wrong, oh, he blew it. Like
they
go crazy. And Mustang people are pretty intense like that. So we thought rather than do a couple things wrong, Mr. Foxbody, let's do like 30 things different because then they won't know which way to turn. So it's basically a lifted like rally inspired kind of factory build is what we're going for. So,
oh, okay,
427.
I'm thinking Thomas Crown Affair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Think that.
Right. Remember yeah. we had the
but without like
bullet. Right.
Yeah. It's like a little pinch.
Bullet a 67.
Yeah, that was a 67. Yeah. So it was a Eleanor gone in 60 seconds. So mm-hmm. you know those are that's what everybody thinks of when they think of one of those. So we thought let's build something that would still jump. So we lowered the shock towers up front to bring the nose up. So it's all still factory mounting points, but that way if we do jump it, it won't immediately knock the bottom of the oil pan off.
Right. Right.
So found 427 from Ford Performance
okay.
on eBay. It was the last one they had assembled. 535 horse, 545 torque. Found a Tremec T5. So as we're putting all this stuff together, like it's a really fun thing for me because this is how we build stuff normally. But to know that we're going to auction it off and make a bunch of money for charity, to me, is super cool. So we're calling it the Red, White, and Rowdy. I'll show you guys the render.
Yeah.
I don't have a picture of it that I can show publicly, but it's going to be awesome, and it's going to have more metal flake than a bass boat.
So how do you follow how do you follow the build? Is it on eBay? Is it
yeah.
on your website?
eBay.com. /motor/blog.
Oh, so it's ebay.com now?
Yes. Yeah, it's a new one. You should check. It's electronic. It's what the E
so you
for.
Go to eBay Motors blog.
Yes, the eBay Motors blog.
And follow the build. So, I mean, I think I saw you Instagramming about it this weekend. You were at a show
yes.
or something?
Oh, I went to Good Guys.
Ago?
You know, I'm being an East Coast guy. I don't get to go to tons of the shows you guys have out here. The videos that I've watched you at Pomona, I mean, that's your happy place, man. When you've gone down there before and had some fun. It's a really cool place. We were up in Pleasanton at the Good Guys West Coast Nationals.
I'm just saying, it looks like you got some work to do to get SEMA this year.
We do. It's a big time now.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking for, like, I need a set of wheels 18 by 8 with a pretty decent offset to clear. I want to make a crazy drift setup on the front for the steering angle, but I realize that costs a lot of money, and I would have rather had that 427. So found that, found a great set of Will Woods on there. Ridetech street grip suspension, and so now we're kind of in that point where I got to find the interior, and a lot of people make different kits on there. It's just you got to find the seats are so hard in a car like that because you could use some like Boss 302 Recaros from a few years ago.
Sure,
they'll look great, but I don't want you and I to touch shoulders while we're in the car.
Yeah,
like that's not cool to me.
Aftermarket seats in that your Mustang as well. Because of the brackets, they sit very high. So you have to cut those brackets down or cut the floorboards and make them flat.
Yeah.
Because the floorboard really pitches up like 4 inches.
And I don't know if I've used TMI stuff before and I love it. So I'm trying to find, I've seen a couple that are cool, but if it's not the right color combo, I also don't want to bid on it and then be like, oh,
yeah,
these are green. Like that's not, you know, it's
so when it's done though, you're going to bid on it.
You know I will.
I know you will.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to bid.
He's going to bid on his own car for the charity.
I think Frankenstein will buy his monster.
It'll have a little bit of like a – you might even feel like an Evel Knievel tribute vibe in the paint. Casey's going to design everything. I might even get to spray a little if the guys get distracted.
Yeah, I'm out.
Rut, what's in your collection now?
Ooh. So I still have my 49 Chevy step van. That might that might go soon. I got a couple guys that want it. My 53 Plymouth wagon that the King gave me. We built that whole thing at Randy's shop at Kenwood. I sold my Supra-powered Scion XB to a friend. It was converted to rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It was awesome, but I never drove it. Mm-hmm. When I was leaving Brazil, a guy on the airplane stopped me and said, hey, I bought my car because of you. And I was like, oh, cool. What'd you get? Oh, a CTSV wagon. I'm like, no kidding. He's like, yeah, but I just leased it. I'm going to turn it in. How many miles are on there? He's like, 36. Can I get your email? Yeah. Ended up buying that car from Hendrick, which was cool. My wife has let me drive that like twice. She loves it. You know, the CTSV wagon is a pretty 556 horsepower in a wagon. That's a good time.
That's a Cadillac supercharged wagon.
Yes, yeah. It's 13. I wanted a 6-speed, and that's what I thought it was. And then when the dealership sent me pictures, I was like, why is there an automatic cluster in a manual car?
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. When he said 6-speed.
He meant... Mm-hmm. He meant automatic,
which is not the same.
People got to straighten that out.
What year is it?
It's a 13.
Did they have the manual in 13?
Yes.
They did. It was the Lenda.
You know, they only made like 509 or 510 of the manual. So but people want an extra $15,000 for it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've only seen them in
black. It's not that cool.
Black.
Yeah, mine's white with the black interior car. And that was another thing. I've either seen them in black or old man maroon, which is definitely not what you want.
Right, yeah, white's a great color on that car.
Let me chime in here and talk about one of my favorite sponsors, Simply Safe. Oh, look, I understand why some people may be putting off getting home security. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Well, Now you can. And you should with Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. That's right. The best protection, and it's so easy. All you have to do is get Simply Safe home security. Go online, put your system together. They ship it right to your house. Peel and stick. No pulling wires, no drilling holes. Up and running in under an hour. They'll talk you right through it when you plug in the home unit. Batteries last up to 10 years. Top-of-the-line protection. No long-term contracts or hidden fees. Just order online. Set it up and protect your family. 24/7 protection. And get 10% off now at simplysafe.com/Adam3. That's simplysafe, simplysafe.com/Adam3. Adam, T-H-R-E-E. SimplySafe, Adam.com/Adam3. Or you can get SimplySafe today at your local Best Buy.
All right, let's talk to Sean for 1 second. Sean, 40, San Francisco.
Ace Man, get it on.
Hey, man. Say hi to Matt and Rutt.
Hey, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
Oh, it's a very good day for me. My question actually is part of kind of like my achievement day.
Achievement day takes the place of birthdays.
Oh.
I'm not a birthday guy, but I like achievement day.
Nice. Nicely noted.
I feel like everyone's born. Like that's not a big deal.
Is it Sean's achievement day?
Yeah, and I want to know what he did. What'd you do, Sean?
Achievement day.
Yeah, thank you. So I had a Fiat Spider when I was a young guy in high school. And it was like a $500 piece of crap that I love dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, they released the Spider again. And so my achievement is I now have a Sunday driver, a totally impractical, useless car that sits in my garage. And I pop the top down and I take it out on Sundays.
Yeah. Feels good to do that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, it feels so good to have a vehicle that just sits in my garage and just waits for me. No other purpose.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got to tell you, in life, everybody, like, you know, a few weeks back when we came from Laguna Seca, I was like, I'm buying this Paul Newman Porsche, and I'm going to race this Paul Newman Porsche a year from now at Laguna Seca. And when I did, the thrill wasn't really driving the car. The thrill was, here's what I said I was going to do. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That's, if you get in that mode in life, life's a lot more satisfying.
Totally.
And despite then also, all the roadblocks, by the way.
There were a few roadblocks. But, and then if you start doing that stuff, what can't you do? Like, you did something that seemed like sort of out of my world. In my world, where I come from, that stuff's out of the stratosphere. Nobody, you know, I don't even, it's not that no Corollas do that. No Corollas know anybody who knows anybody who does that kind of shit, buys super expensive cars and then goes and takes them a year later back to the track and enters them in the race. So if you do that, then many other things in life become much easier. And by the way, if you don't, everything becomes the inverse is correct as well. If you don't do anything, then you really can't do anything. Yeah, I've always said that. I mean, Mark Gargis, the guy who pretty much made it happen for some legal reasons, is the busiest guy on the planet. And I came to him last minute and said, make this happen. And he's sending emails on Saturday afternoon.
Midnight. Yeah, and midnight as well.
Like the busiest man on the planet can still get stuff done because he's the busiest man on the planet.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean?
Yes.
So, wait, which Fiat Spider do you have now?
Yeah, so I have a 2017 Spider 124.
Spider?
Oh, yeah, that's
they're making
that's
that now?
The Miata paste.
That's a new one that Jalopnik backed into a tree by accident. It's a fun car, isn't it?
I got to see a picture of that
because the
124 I know very well.
We walked past it. Actually, you and I walked past it in Monterey. You know, where we walked past it was the Concorso.
What do you think of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of 124s at the Concorso.
It was the new one, and it was like the A-Barth version or whatever, and it had, you know, some fancy stripes. And
I don't want to label it, but it's like a smaller Miata, but...
But not...
but
doesn't perform as well.
Well, I mean, Sean, what do you think about it? I've heard good things.
It looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're. So I have the fully electric Fiat, and I have a hybrid Nissan. And so for me, this thing is incredibly fun and sporty because I've been driving very practical commuting cars.
What's the range on the? I have a kind of.
Do you even want to ask that question?
No,
like, I feel like in your face, you're asking a question
I'm having a thought about dudes who don't know anything about cars. But first off, if you're like a hairdresser at a hairdresser, dude, straight dude, and he had an electric Fiat, and I said, what's the range on that? And he's like 56 miles or something like that. And I said, how long does it take to plug in? I mean, how long does it take to charge when you plug in? He's like, I don't know, like overnight or something. I said, do you have the fast charge or is it just regular household current? And he goes, the plug's got the three prongs.
Oh, gosh.
And I said, so regular, just like a regular three prong? Yeah. I don't know, just, the three prong. I said, so, because there's a 220 or 240 version of the...
Is it big, like the back of your dryer at your house, or what?
They have, twist lock, 220, but they're three-prong, they're just different shape, And he's like, I don't know what shape, three prongs. And I'm like, every outlet has three prongs, extension cord has three prongs. Is that what you're talking about? Hey, man, I'm not a tech.
I just drive it.
It's like, how little about your own life? Do you know?
It can't be really that's the range, right?
It is. It wasn't.
It's got to be more than that.
It's got to be more than that.
What's the range? What's the range, Sean?
Yeah, so my range is generally between 80 and 100 miles. And if you run the AC or if you run some fans, then you're going to lose a few miles. But I've taken it 80 mile. I've taken it all the way down to turtle mode when you have 1 or 2 mile left and it gets pretty sketchy. And that was a full 80-mile drive.
He's just sweating with the windows up, dying in the
range
car.
Anxiety.
So Fiat says 87 miles battery only.
What year is it, your Sean?
It's 2015.
Oh, okay.
Are you leasing that?
Rut wants to buy it.
He'll meet you at the airport. Does it have a manual?
No, I wonder because it seemed like they were having trouble selling them, but the leases were pretty cheap.
Yeah, so actually... like I said, the Fiat was my original car. And so for my daughter, I thought it would be a fantastic first car. So I went ahead and purchased it outright. Hmm. But I did get a $10,000 tax credit that I was able I was able to offset with my income. And so I took full advantage of the tax credit. And then my 16-year-old daughter has been driving it for the past couple years. And it's been a fantastic first car. For her.
Sean, you are good soul,
I like
man.
This guy.
I like Sean. Show me a picture of that Fiat 124 reboot. Sean, you must do something thoughtful for a living.
I'm in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're a good man. I like you, Sean.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're enjoying yourself and enjoying your motoring in your new 124 Fiat. I did not know.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we...
It's cool looking, right? It's got a little bit of throwback.
It's
I like
got some
it.
Spirit.
Yeah.
What's your interior? What color's yours?
So I got black.
And
so I actually wanted to get... I cannot afford a Paul Newman race car, but I can...
What?
But I can certainly afford quite a bit of vehicles. And what I wanted was I felt like... 20 years later, having my high school car, and I wanted it to be fun. So it didn't have to be outrageously fast. It didn't have to have all of the options. I really wanted the most basic, fun.
It looks good. We're looking at it. It's got some jag in it when you hit it at the right angle.
It's got a little bit of Jaguar in it.
It's got a little bit of jag in it.
And also maybe a little bit of Panos?
It's got a little Miata. Got a little Panos.
Good call.
It's got a little Jag.
Now, is it like you're the one in high school that it sometimes has trouble starting, or
no, actually nothing. Because I with Mazda under the hood, I feel very confident that this Fiat's going to last much longer than my other Fiats
for sure.
Thanks, Sean. Happy for your achievement day. Hey, I don't know. Like, I hear these stories about Papa John had to go find his Camaro. I have none of those thoughts about any old vehicles, although I drove Nissan pickup trucks mainly. But I don't have the affinity part where, like, you got to go find your first car.
Yeah.
I'm right up there. Like, my feeling.
Rutledge did a whole show about it. So.
I did. I did a couple. Well, you know, keep in mind, my first car was an 81 Rabbit pickup, and it sucked.
Oh, that's right.
It was awful, man.
Rabbit. I could never. The thing that would always blow my mind about the Rabbit pickup, but many pickups, but especially the Rabbit, is I'd see him just going down the street, leaning back.
Oh, yeah.
Like they had a
back. Chris, show me Rabbit pickup.
It was the Cali lean before, like, pre-runners were a thing on the street.
Yeah, the thing was leaning backwards, right?
Rabbit pickup.
And I'd always be
nobody's
like,
paying attention.
There's got to be something in the bed of that Rabbit pickup. Yeah. But there wasn't anything
was like,
in the bed of it.
It was like a backpack. And, or a light bag of groceries.
Yeah.
The guy, all it would take.
Dirt. Yeah. Just a little dirt.
And so the thing would be leaning back, and then I'd think, you know, I used to have Toyota Nissan pickups all the time, and I would buy, like, 11 sheets of three-quarter ply and just shove them in the back and hanging out the thing. And the thing would squat down. Like, I put an Adelief on there because the thing would squat down. But it was rear-wheel drive. And I could make it up the hill with the I'd pack the shit.
The wood
out of
doesn't
cars.
Slide out the back.
I would get a little
running start. Yeah.
I put like a lumber rack on that thing once and would just stack tons and tons, and the whole thing would be like squat down, but it would go like it was bulletproof and it would work. Like, you can't break one of those trucks.
So no affinity to have another one of those and relive those days.
No,
huh?
But. But I would think to myself, the Rabbit truck was front-wheel drive.
Yeah.
So what happened when you put shit in the back of that truck?
It's no traction, right? No
you'd
traction.
You'd hear, like, real quietly, you'd hear, bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. It would start to creep in, and then you're like, all right, let's go for it.
Spun those front wheels, right?
You can. If you put enough weight in there, it'll basically just scrape, just drag.
So tell me that. Like, in high school, you'd have all your buddies sit on the tailgate and, like, let's see if we can get this thing to do some kind of wheelie.
I mean, you imply that if you had an 81 Rabbit pickup in high school that you would also have tons
buddies.
Of buddies.
Yeah, you'd like, have tons of buddies.
It was a real, like, you just stay over here, kid. I at one point was like, oh, I'm going to fix this thing up. A guy, you know, that's when imports are really taking off, at least where we were. Put a set of 13-inch... 5 stars on there.
What year was this?
This would have been, I finished high school in 98. So this would have been like 96. Right. And I bolted these 13s on there with low profiles. And I thought, this is not the look I was going for.
Let me jump in with a little news about Bluehost. It's a top rated website provider powering 2 million plus websites. Best tool to build, host, and manage your personal or small business website. Freedom to design your site your way. Fully customizable templates and third-party app support. Simple enough for beginners. Powerful enough for advanced users. And true reliability. How reliable? 99.9% uptime guaranteed and auto updates. Maximum security, malware monitoring and protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs, plus 24/7 tech support. So, Bluehost, and you can save 50% when you sign up at bluehost.com/carcast. That is B-L-U-E, bluehost.com/carcast. Save 50%.
It's gone the other way.
13
this is worse.
13-inch rims, if you're not rocking at least a 60 series, is nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're putting 45 series or 40 or even 50 on a 13, you got nothing.
Unless it's a 13-inch Dayton.
Yes, player. Right? That's what I was going to say. Unless you're running some true spokes, some wire wheel Daytons, then maybe it's different, but... Yeah, that what's funny is I met a kid this weekend when we were doing the eBay thing, and he asked, how do you know so much about cars? And I said, well, is that your mom? He said, yeah. I said, every time my mom went to the grocery store, I would say yes. I would go with her, and I would just stand in the magazine aisle. And I would read everything, right? And so I know stuff about lowriders and hydraulic systems and stuff that I'll never use, but I read every lowrider. I read every truck magazine, every Euro magazine. Like, I just read all of them because I wanted to learn. And so it's funny now when you look back and I think, like, why was I into this, or how did I go this direction? Like, I always liked the stuff that I could work on, I could afford to drive, which is why, like, I always loved old Corollas. Like, the newest car I got is an 85 Corolla, AE86, Hachidoku. It's awesome, built. It's got a 4A GZE from an MR2, and I love it. Like, this is total, like, high school dream car status for me, and it's ready to go. But it's because I read all those magazines and you're like, man, that little GTS was a big deal back in the day. That high revving little 4A GE, people were like, wow, this is a cool car.
Do you have a normal daily driver?
Yeah, I drive a Tundra every day.
Oh, that's right. But that's
I got a
normal
GSF. I love my GSF.
Oh,
467
GSF
horsepower
is, nice.
Is a good daily. I think that should be your
GSF.
It's a four-door Lexus.
Yeah, it's like a
that car. Yeah.
By the way, that LC500.
Oh, it's jamming.
That's the big coupe we saw in Amelia, and then we saw it again in Monterey.
You gotta take
the
one for a
spin. Big two-door coupe.
Oh, that car, yes.
On the stage.
Yeah, that's good.
We drove that thing. That thing's great. And
it's
now
awesome,
we're talking about an LCF with 600. Mm-hmm. That car with 600 horsepower would be the bomb.
Dude, Akio Toyota is like, the fact that the guy has a racetrack at his house in Texas, number one, great sign.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he wants to go fast, but he's the guy that's saying, like, make these cool cars fast again. Like, let's bring passion back. That's awesome.
But that car has every bit of the luxury and smooth and quiet and built like a Lexus.
Oh, yeah.
But nice.
Did you ever drive an LFA, Adam?
No, I didn't. Although I had a thought, which was a few weeks back. Oh, maybe I did.
No, we had one here.
I think I did.
I think you drove it around a little bit.
I drove a block or something. But I love that motor. I love naturally aspirated. I love high revving. I love all that stuff. There was an LFA that was going across the blocks on one of the auctions over the Monterey weekend. And I kind of spotted it when I was cruising through the auction sites before we went out there. And I never followed up on what it sold for or like what those cars have done. I'm not sure. I know they lost money when they made those cars. I know they were amazing cars. I saw Paris Hilton driving one with her dog on her lap, and it ruined the car
for me.
It tainted it.
Also ruined dogs
for
and
me.
Paris Hilton.
All things were ruined. But I'm curious, did the LFA, which stickered for like $350 or close to $400 or
and
something.
Would climb with the Nürburgring package. It'd get a little higher than that even.
Almost $600?
I think it was like $540 was maybe the highest one, something like that.
Oh, yeah, and I may be wrong.
You're close.
I can't remember
the
numbers.
That's where they started.
But the question is, now that they're 5 years in the rearview mirror, can you pick one up for $185, or are they $700K?
They've held on. It's funny because they only made 500 worldwide. The only guy that I know who owns one is Denny Hamlin, that races for Joe Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny doesn't drive his very much. His is a Nürburgring edition. But they, you know, I think so many of them, there's still like 10 or 11 left.
That's the thing,
at dealerships.
Is there's a handful that are out. I don't know if they're for sale, but dealers had them, and they were never titled. So maybe the owners of the dealers just kept them.
Yeah, there were 12.
There's like 11 or 12.
Well, now, Max Pata, you got to see. I'm trying to think where I saw that LFA.
I bet it was out there. There was one.
I don't think it was a Gooding or an RM, and we never even talked about it, I don't think. But
it's funny, I Googled LFA and a picture of Paris Hilton in the white LFA.
No way.
Yeah. Ruin.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So, Rhett.
My LFA story is years ago, and I spoke to you about it as well, years ago, I got invited to go to Willow Springs with two other guys. And the other guy was Paul Walker. And they brought two LFAs.
No way.
And they just said, go out on streets of Willow all day and drive LFAs.
Yeah.
And we just went out there. And we had a black one and a yellow one. We were blasting around all day. And then we come in, and Paul and I were like, that's cool. You want to switch? He's like, yeah, let's switch. And then we just go back out there again. We were out there for like 5 hours just running around, and they had like two engineers from Lexus that didn't speak any English, and the guys were just standing there.
All Spanish?
And yes. And then they just stood there, and I'm like, do you guys need to do anything on the car? And then, like, they didn't even check tire pressure. They didn't do anything. They're like, no, it's Lexus. It's fine.
That's awesome. We wow. ran one. Tanner ran one at Sonoma while we played Forza in that car on that track and tried to beat him. Spoiler
alert. What
kind
of time could he turn?
He won. I don't remember, but he beat us.
He cheats.
He's real good, that guy.
He's a
cheater.
And a good guy.
He is.
What are you guys doing show-wise?
Do we find out? Wait, I want to know if Chris found out anything about that LFA.
Well, I'm just looking to see if there are any for sale, and there are a few online, and they're averaging about 400K.
So they've held, but they see if you can find if that one sold at Monterey and what the hammer was. Sorry, new shows.
What auction did you think it was?
I would have known if it was Gooding, and I would have known if it was RM.
We didn't see it at any of their previews. So
right,
it's
so
be,
it was probably Meekum.
Probably Meekum.
As I
there
recall.
You go.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry.
Oh, the estimate was 335 to 375. And did it sell, or does the bid go on? Driver, driver.
Driver, driver. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means.
Russo kept yelling it in his, like, MMA ring of car auctions.
Really?
And he just, like, on TV, it's like, driver, driver. I think he's talking to somebody, like, one of his staff.
Is that cue to move the car?
I don't know.
Because I worked a bunch of Meekums the past couple years. That's a fascinating thing. The guys that go down to the one, Kissimmee. It's here's what I can tell you.
That's in Kansas, right?
That's in Florida.
Oh,
that's
wait
the
a minute.
One, it's like,
oh, the other one's the Kansas is another big one. Sorry.
So, and I didn't know that, like, I always grew up here in, like, Barrett-Jackson. What I didn't realize is that Meekum has a ton more auctions.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Like they
And high volume.
Yes.
Dude, they bring, like, 400 cars
They
out.
Kill it. And what's crazy is that all these snowbirds will come down to Florida in January, and you'll see guys there the same every year. They'll come back. And what they do is they buy a car somewhere between 30 and 40, a cool car. Right? They take it home, drive it for a year, come back, sell it for 30 to 40, and then buy another one. It's like a long-term rental program.
Oh, wow. Ken Linkenfelter is the king of Meekum auctions. Ken rules auctions.
He loves it, dude. And
he's
the stuff
always
that
on.
He'll just watch, and he'll watch. You know, there's always – it's any auction, it seems a little crazy, but there are times when there's highs and lows, and you just have to basically kind of check the numbers, walk around, see when things are going. Because if everybody's having lunch, turns out you can get some great deals.
$325 and a weird – sort of metallic British racing green with a beige interior. It's a weird combo
it's
on
a
that.
A weird combo.
On that camel's kind of nice.
That car.
Yeah. That car was absolutely fantastic to drive. And
oh,
it
my
sounds
God.
Awesome.
To
know
be.
That they tuned that exhaust, like they spent
it
time. Sound
awesome. Those two cars that they brought out to the track, one of them was a prototype, significantly faster than the other one. Like, it was
those were
really
the two
fast.
Press cars.
Yeah.
Driver, driver.
Driver, driver.
Top Gear. It's fun.
So, Rut, what are we working on? Top Gear is now there's a... Okay,
there's like a Top Gear America, I guess, now?
Yeah, it's a...
that's a classic, I'm going to pretend I don't know everything I do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Answer?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not on that show, so we can skip over that one.
Yeah.
No. So here's what I can tell you. Adam Ferrara, Tanner Faust, and I knew that what made our show successful here in the U.S. was us three idiots in cars. And a lot of people started weighing in on what they thought would make a better show, and their ideas were not very good, and we told them that. And then they saw what happened. Like, they told us, hey, we're going to add a bunch of people to the U.K. show. And we're like, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Like, I know you're panicked. Because the other guys left and went to Amazon. But, like, don't screw up that brand. Just wait. Like, give yourself 5 minutes. They're like, no, we're going to rush this show out there. And then it was terrible.
It was terrible.
And then they were like, no, but we're going to add a bunch of people to your show. And we're like, don't do that. You're seeing it's a bad idea. Don't do that. History wanted more. And so it was one of those things where a bunch of people thought that they knew what was best. But, they're people that drive, like, hybrids and electric cars every day. So they don't understand... like passion, they don't understand why we love the cars that we do. So the three of us said, "Look, let's get the band back together. Let's go to work on a show that's different enough that we can't get in trouble."
Right.
So that's kind of where we are right now. And the cool thing is because there's so many Top Gear USA fans out there and around the world, is that we know that we've got a chance to go make something really cool. So, you know, if we make it online, we can blow up a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
I watched
So you guys are going to try to do something new.
That's the plan.
Three of you. Yeah.
That's the plan.
You know, my feeling. With a lot of car stuff. So I watched a new episode with Bill Fichtner, who I like a lot.
Love Bill.
Yeah.
Great guy.
And, you know, it's all, like, really well shot and well executed. But Fichtner is driving around a replica all roads leading back to the 67 Mustang, a bullet,
okay,
like just through the Bay Area. And I'm just watching it going, well, that car's worth $13,000. Maybe it's worth $9,000. I don't know. Maybe someone will pay $20,000.
You would be surprised.
But it's not the car.
Yeah.
And he's just, you know, dropping in a second, you know, taking off down the open highway. And look, I like Fichtner, and I just watched it. It went on for 11 minutes. And okay. Just pretty much just Fichtner driving a replica bullet at not very high speeds or anything, just sort of around. And I just kind of watched it and went, like, I love cars, but not this. This I don't want. Like, I feel like there's so much out there, and people rarely get it right. Like, we love cars, so we want to go see Goodwood. Nobody covers Goodwood.
Right.
I mean, there's a little, like, it's on, you can find it on your computer streaming or something with a nanny cam or whatever, but I don't want to see a guy drive around a replica hot rod that, by the way, that car's a piece of shit in the first place. But secondly, the only thing that would make it interesting is if they found the guy who had the real car,
right,
and convinced him to whatever, did a profile whatever. A replica bullet car is a piece of shit that's not worth. I don't know what those cars are worth, but they're worth nothing. They're a replica piece of shit. And the idea of hearing a V8 engine rev with some headers on it is not exquisite. I'm well beyond just, hey, listen to that thing. Like, oh, look at it. It's taking off. It's fucking boring. I have no idea. There can't be anyone who likes cars who wants to film that. I don't know who these fucking people are.
And that's what we're missing, is that networks seem to think that everybody watches all the shows are dumb. Like, that's at the core of it. Like, they're just,
you've
really
be
insulting.
Dumb if you want to watch a bullet replica go in a circle.
Well, and know this, I love Bill. If anyone called you and said, "Hey, we want you to be on a show like Top Gear," it doesn't matter who you are, you'd be crazy to not say yes. Like,
yes, that's
right.
And we love
Bill too.
It is
the time of your life. I have an agent because of Bill. Like, you know, so many good things in my life happened because of that Toyota Pro Celebrity Race that we did together. And Bill was one of the guys that pulled me aside and said, "Dude, you got to get an agent. Like, you're good at this stuff. You need to do more of it." And I told him, "Congrats, and wear a helmet, be safe." When he got the show, but
Love me some Forza, man. Forza Motorsports 7 on Xbox One, October 3rd is when it's out, so it's coming, man. Exclusively for Xbox One and Windows 10. Collect and race 700 plus cars, including Le Mans. Le Mans winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Love that car. And the Ford GT40, as seen on the 24-Hour War. Hey, that's my movie. Gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. That's a lot of frames per second, man. No wonder the graphics are so good. 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. Oh, we were just out there. Sonoma, I was just out there. Long Beach, it's been a while. Watkins Glen and the legendary Monza Nürburgring. Try it all out. Forza Motorsports 7 on Xbox One, man. Buy the digital version and get the Hoonigan Car Pack featuring Ken Block and his 1961 Mustang Hoonicorn and get it for free. Forza Motorsport 7 on out October 3rd. And if you're going to get a car and talk cars, and if you're listening, you love cars, you got to insure it. Why not go with the best? Go with Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why would you do anything else? Save some of that money. Get yourself a new, cold air intake system or something. Put that extra money in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. Go to Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. It's Geico. All right, what were you talking about?
It's tough when you go, and we went and met with a network, and they tried to tell me, well, you know, people that watch our show, they know that everything they see is real. And I was like, bro, if you can see a police car and an ambulance at the end of this drag strip, like, quote, drag strip, you have to know that, like, people know that's not real. And it's okay. the cars are real, the racing's real, but like, don't believe for a minute that people are so stupid that they don't get it. And they said, well, I don't understand the fantasy of like why you want to pick all these different cars. And I said, oh, okay, what do you drive? And the other four guys that are from this network start laughing. And I was like, you have an electric car, don't you? And he said, yeah. I was like, okay, let me see if I'm right. You wanted to get a Tesla, but you don't want these guys to think that you're a prick, right? Yeah. Like, you don't want people to think this guy's a total a-hole, even though for the technology and everything it is, like, it's a lot of people would be right to say this car's worth the money. I don't feel that way, but that's what you saw. But you didn't want to do that, because then that's going to look bad to them. I said, and then you're an adult, so you didn't want a Leaf, because that's a go-kart. Like, yeah, that's not a real car. I said, so let me guess. You have a Chevy Volt. And they just start laughing and clapping. And I was like, okay, so that's what we do. Like, yeah, that's what our show does, because that's a real, like, that's a real life decision. I said, but the difference is, like, you can show that. Like, you don't have to fake that. It's all about storytelling. And to your point, like, if you found, like, they just found one of the original bullet cars
in Mexico.
Like, right, that's a rad story. I read
every single word of that. That's the story we want to see.
That's cool. The fact that Goodwood, like, there's one dude who has so much money that people, he convinced people, yeah, race up my driveway. Like, why are we not all going there? Like, yeah, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Now, Rod Millen's doing a similar one down in New Zealand. So, like, you can get Leadfoot. Like, we could get a Lord of the Rings trip and race up someone's driveway. Yes. Yes. Like, that's a great story.
With some of the coolest, when you go to Goodwood, the coolest cars on the planet, not a Mustang Bullet replica tribute car, which is a, it doesn't even, I honestly is less than a zero in terms of my interest level.
But you will see a 917 Porsche run the hill.
Right? And that's, yes, to me, that's, it's the same real people that listen to your show that know cars, that, like, they know, like, if you're into cars, then you know cars. You're not here to sell cinnamon tequila and t-shirts and not know crap about cars. Like, that's not real.
Yeah, and look, we all just kind of geeked out on the LFA for 10 minutes, not because our tastes are necessarily simpatico with cars. We're actually pretty wide range of tastes,
yeah,
represented in this podcast studio. But we all know what is good, and we all know the LFA, until fucking Paris Hilton got one. We all know the LFA is a killer machine. And so what the guy who's in the Mustangs and American Muscle, and the guy who's into the Newman, Nissan, whatever stuff, and the guy who's into engine swaps with the Nissans and crazy cars and a Cadillac wagon, those three guys all appreciate the shit out of the LFA because those three guys are car guys.
Right.
And if you try to swap out a Bullet tribute car for an LFA, in my world, you went from I'm endlessly fascinated about this vehicle to I don't give two flying shits about this piece of shit that I could buy on eBay all day long for $13,000. So what is it? Car guy? Not car guy? No, car guy with brain cells who wants something interesting.
Yeah. Something cool that puts a smile on your face every time. That's why you're going to love my 67 Fastback.
That's right.
Because it's not a bullet replica. It's different. It's fun. Replica. It's cool.
It's got as many as 30 things that are weird.
Circle.
30. 30.
All right.
Mr. Fox body.
Let me tell. Yes.
Pitch that. Throw out the cooking show.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
us about your Food Network show.
Yeah, so
hurry,
I will.
I got to do five other podcasts.
My buddy, my buddy Guy Fieri that I met at Sonoma years ago, huge race fan. When he first met me, he was like, "Hey, you're the weird guy from Speed." And I thought, "Why do you know me? You're the crazy guy from Triple D." And so we've been trying to work on something together for years. He had me out at Guy's Grocery Games, which if you haven't watched, is really fun. It's like
that's the kids. Right?
It's like Supermarket Sweep that used to be on, which was a great show. Chopped, and so people cook all this stuff in a grocery store, and he saw me and he was like, "We need to go make a show with you and this girl next to you." And I was like, "Okay, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I got a road trip. I need to have a cool car, and let's go show fun food in the South." So it's called Super Southern Eats. We're cruising around in my wife's 85 FJ60 Land Cruiser, which I bought her and then borrowed for the show, and she has not had it back yet.
One of those sold for like $100,000, by the way.
Oh my gosh. They're insane, dude. They have held their value and keep going up.
All right. Where do we find it?
Food Network. It'll be out, I think, in October. We've had one premiere, and then the rest of them are coming out in October, so really excited.
All right. So go to the website, by the way, therutledgewood.com. eBayBuild.com and find out about the eBay Build and find out about the Food Network show and all the stuff. We could sit here forever with Rut, but
I love you guys. Thanks
we
for
love you.
Me.
And you got to go to the other shop and take a look at some cool,
done.
cool cars. All right, live shows coming up. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, find out all the swag, all the live shows, whatever you want. The buck slips. I love my buck slips. Go to AdamCarolla.com, check that out. Check the CarCastShow.com as well. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Rutledge Wood and Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCastShow. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.